Harper Audio presents Death Echo by Elizabeth Lowell, performed by Beth McDonald. Copyright 2010 by Two of a Kind, Inc. Production copyright 2010 by HarperCollins Publishers. Prologue. Day 1. Manhattan. 9 a.m. You must believe me. St. Kilda Consulting is our best hope. Ambassador James Steele pinched the bridge of his nose and wished he had never met the woman who now sat opposite his desk. Alara, I'm no longer called that. Steele blew out a hard breath and wheeled his chair back from his desk. Very few people on Earth could make him uncomfortable. The woman no longer called Alara was one of them, and one of the most dangerous. Just as I no longer work for the government, Steele said. We established that years ago. Alara smiled almost sadly. Her silver hair gleamed, hair that once had been as black as her eyes. In the shadow world, St. Kilda Consulting has made quite a reputation for itself. Trust is rare in any world, even more so in the shadows. You're asking him to break that trust, Emma Cross said, speaking up for the first time in 15 minutes. Steele and Alara turned sharply toward Emma, telling her what she'd already guessed. They had forgotten she was there. All emotion faded from Alara's expression. It was replaced by the frightening intelligence that had made her a legend within the nameless, anonymously funded government agencies whose initials changed frequently, but whose purpose never changed. I came in soft, Alara said coolly, requesting, not threatening. I don't have time for games with disillusioned children. She looked at Steele. According to our intelligence, America could lose a major population center in less than 7 days. We need St. Kilda to prevent that. We will have what we need. Without looking away from Alara, Steele said, Emma, summarize the facts as they were presented to us. Emma's light green eyes watched her boss for a moment. Then she began speaking quickly, without emotion. As given to us, no questions asked or qualifications offered. Miss Alara's department or departments have been following various overseas entities. One of those entities is suspected, known, not suspected, Alara cut in. Of stealing and reselling yachts, Emma continued without pause. One of the stolen yachts was specially modified to hold contraband, chemical, biological, and or radioactive. Motives, whether the actors are state or non-state, weren't part of Alara's presentation, which will make finding and stopping who or whatever is the enemy before time runs out just this side of impossible. She looked at Alara. No surprise the bureaucrats and politicians want to dump this steaming pile on St. Kilda's doorstep. Steele almost smiled. Emma Cross had a pretty face and a bottom-line mind. The excuse for said dumping, Emma continued, turning back to Steele, is that St. Kilda has an agent who has been investigating missing yachts for an international insurer. The yacht Blackbird, which I have been tracing, is a dead ringer for the stolen, refitted, and purportedly dangerous yacht pursued by Alara's department. Or departments. The person, group, or entities responsible for theft of the nameless yacht weren't identified. At all. Alara's still black eyebrows rose, but she said nothing about Emma's coolly mocking summary. The older woman simply sat in her crisp business suit and pumps, looking like an employee of a middle management team, back when women were called secretaries rather than administrative assistants. Satellite tracking and other intel confirm that a yacht believed to be the Blackbird will be offloaded from the container ship Xinhua Lotus at approximately 1500 hours Pacific Coast time, Emma continued. According to St. Kilda's investigation, an unknown transit captain will pick up the boat in Port of Seattle. We have no assurance that the yacht aboard the container ship is the same one that originally was loaded aboard the Lotus. We won't have that assurance until someone finds
Sample complete. Ready to continue?